at his trial in Iraq. Prosecutors today presented a document they say he signed approving the executions of more than 140 Shiites in Iraq. The document, among several presented by the chief prosecutor concerning the killings of Shiites back in 1982 following an assassination attempt on Saddam. Americans apparently know more about the Simpsons than they do about the First Amendment. Only one in four Americans can name more than one of the five freedoms guaranteed by the First Amendment, but more than half can name at least two members of the Simpson cartoon family. According to a new survey by the New McCormick Tribune Freedom Museum, 22% of Americans could name all five Simpson family members, compared for just one in a thousand people who could name all five First Amendment freedoms. Those are, by the way, freedoms.
Americans could name all five Simpson family members, compared for just one in a thousand people who could name all five First Amendment freedoms. Those are, by the way, freedoms. Americans could name all five Simpson family members, compared for just one in a thousand people who could name all five First Amendment freedoms. Those are, by the way, free. Americans could name all five Simpson family members, compared for just one in a thousand people who could name all five First Amendment freedoms. Those are, by the way, free. Americans can name all five Simpson family members.
Costumes, though, this year pay a kind of bizarre homage to Hurricane Katrina. One woman wore a nun's hat made of a blue tarp, like those used to cover damaged roofs, and another man draped himself in white and raised a model helicopter over his head to portray a levee breach. This is Air America Radio News.
Laissez les bons temps rouler. Hey, Truth Seekers, how's your mom and them? It is Fat Tuesday. And to our listeners in New Orleans, happy Mardi Gras. What can I say? We're glad that the stations that carry us in that area are back online, or back on the air. And tonight we are going to feature in our bumper music all New Orleans music provided to us by Jason Isaac, our erstwhile engineer and resident rock star, who has left New York City and is in New Orleans even as we speak. So again, laissez-les bon temps rouler. That's close enough, Pussycat. I am not very good with this, accent. I had trouble with Freedom Fries, for God's sake. 7:30 past the hour. Good evening, True Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We couple of emails here that were left over from yesterday. I think it was from yesterday. This is from another one of our emailers who does not include his or her name. I wish you'd give me a name, but that's right. The writer says, I'm here in South Dakota. I'm sure you're well aware of the recent legislation that was passed. The writer's referring, of course, to the anti-abortion legislation. The writer says, well, I was listening to public radio today, and they have been getting a small amount of email about people who are boycotting tourism to the state because of this legislation. This is a big concern to people in the tourism industry here, as tourism generates a lot of revenue for the state, with Mount Rushmore being in the Black Hills. I subscribe to a year's worth of premium Air America because of your show alone. Oh, I didn't see that. Well, thank you. It's very nice. If you could inform your listeners that emailing, and then he gives me an email address here, which I'll share with you, threatening a boycott of tourism is being taken very seriously here. It may produce some undesired results for these bastards in office in the state. Public radio claimed they were getting about 12 emails a day, which have them somewhat concerned. I'm sure if boycotting South Dakota tourism was getting any kind of media play, the law might be thrown out altogether. As I said, tourism is a backbone of South Dakota revenue, so please consider spending 2 minutes on this. Also, I'm sure you realize why they passed it with the language they used. It was written for the sole purpose of going to the Supreme Court. Thank you for your time. Well, thank you for your time, S-E-N. I'll refer to you as Sen. Thank you for your time, Sen. If you want to send an email that says you are not going to go visit Mount Rushmore, even if you hadn't planned on it, if you say you're not coming because of the legislation, it's only a small lie, and this is Bush's America, where lies are the coin of the realm. So anyway, the address here is SDinfo, like South Dakota Info, SDinfo at, and then it's state.sd.us. Yeah, that's easy, isn't it? SDinfo at state.sd.us. I forgot to mention the other night when we were talking about Saturday's Democratic Underground gathering here in Atlanta and the fact that Kathy and I were invited and went and had a great time, that in addition to the folks that turned out, there was a whole list of posts that were put together on Democratic Underground just to say, hey, Mike and Kathy, yada yada, like your show, and so on and so forth. And I didn't mention it the other night, but some really nice comments here, and we do appreciate it. We're not in New York City where the action is with this network. We're down here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to partake of all the excitement that swirls constantly around the Air America Radio Network. Being here in the buckle of the Bible Belt, of course, things are a lot less, frantic, I guess. So to get something like this with, I don't know how many names are on here, Kathy, what would you say, 60, 70, 80? It was very kind of you all to do it at Democratic Underground, which is one of the bases for this program, you know, one of the core groups for the Molloy Show has been for years, even back when we were only on the Internet. We weren't supposed to be only on the Internet, but we were working for the United Auto Workers. They had a network called IE America, and the people who ran that network were psychopaths. So as a result, I think we were only on two stations.
Well, they ran it like they were running an auto factory as opposed to a radio network.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate you clearing that up for everybody.
Laissez les bons temps rouler.
We had
a lot of sugar tonight.
Yeah, we did. I should know. Do y'all know what a king cake is? Woo! The folks in New Orleans and New York, Jason in New Orleans and our engineering crew and production staff in New York, sent Kathy and me a king cake, which is celebratory. Yeah, we had a lot of sugar. All right, piece of pastry that is just astonishing. It is the official New Orleans, you know, like pumpkin pie is to Thanksgiving. Well, king cake is to Mardi Gras, and this stuff is Jesus. We're not going to get through the program.
There was a little tiny plastic baby.
Well, did you eat the baby?
No, I saw the little plastic baby.
Well, that's the idea, right?
And it said, we're sorry, we can't put the little tiny plastic baby in the cake because it's, you know, a choking hazard or something.
Yeah,
so here's a little plastic baby.
Here's your little plastic baby. I don't think it's a baby Jesus. I think it's the baby, some other baby. But with the caffeine and the coffee we've had tonight and the king cake, this is going to be an interesting, very interesting program! Anyway, thanks, guys. We appreciate it. If you are not familiar with king cake, you ought to try it. It's got sort of a pecan paste in the middle.
It's purple and yellow and full of sugar.
Oh, my.
It's really, really good, and I'm going to have to go out to the car. Mike had to take it out to the car because I think he was afraid I was just going to keep hacking on it all night.
Yeah. I think they baked some reefer into yours, too. Jesus, Gaddy, get a grip.
That wasn't powdered sugar.
No, it wasn't. On to serious stuff from Sherry. She reminds us, we mentioned this last night, in just 48 hours, the U.S. House of Representatives is scheduled to vote on a bill that is going to eliminate just about 200 state and local food safety laws. You got to do something about this, Truth Seeker. I got motivated on this one. Maybe it's because I have an 18-month-old. Maybe it's because I have grandchildren. I don't know. I don't eat that much prepared food. We go to a farmer's market here that is not locally grown produce. It's a farmer's market that has produce and meat and seafood from all over the world. But it is it's a good place to shop because they have probably half of the food available is certifiably organic. Now, most of that comes from either California or Mexico, some from Florida. But if this law passes, which it will, unless people raise such an outrage, then it's going to dissolve the food safety protections that you find on labels and labeling in all 50 states. They are gone in one fell swoop. This is more activity by this filthy criminal Bush crime family. It's disgusting. These sons of bitches don't care anything about the American people. They are responding to the factory food industry. They're responding to the National Grocers Association, whatever the hell it's called. You know, that sounds like mom and pop behind the counter selling collard greens, the National Grocers Association. No, those are huge factory organizations that irradiate food, put in chemical additives. They sell fish with excessively high levels of mercury, which can cause birth defects. Now, this... If you want to do something that really, really, really hits home, I mean it will hit home, how many people get foodborne illnesses in this country every year? It's in, what is it, 10 million, 15 million? It's an awful lot of people.
Please tell me they'll still sell king cake.
Anyway, there's just 2 days left to notify Congress that you are against this bill. I gave a website last night. You can find out by Googling it. Do your own research. Talk to your own member of Congress if you want to. If you don't, to hell with it. But this is about food safety. This is about labeling. And this is, once again, the American consumer having it stuffed in our back and broken off at the hilt by these fake food industry types. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
You're listening to The Mike Molloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's Mardi Gras. Hey, mister, throw me some beads.
That just sounded way too gay.
This is a sad night in for us, excuse me, at Air America, regarding our Phoenix, Arizona affiliate, KXXT. We are losing that station tonight. It has been bought by a so-called Christian broadcasting group. I say so-called because I don't remember Jesus telling people to go buy radio stations. I remember Jesus telling people to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, take care of the ill, so on and so forth. But that's a whole different topic. Anyway, Mike in Tempe, Arizona writes in, Mike, this is the last night we'll be able to hear you over the air in Phoenix. I'm stunned that another station can't be found to carry Air America in the fifth largest city in the United States. And the ultimate blow is to lose you for yet another Christian station here. How do these evangelical sons of bitches carry on with so many stages? Who listens to them? We're all depressed here, Mike. Please say something to comfort us. Well, I wish I could. Get XM Radio. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. This has happened. It's happened here in Atlanta. We're losing the Atlanta station. It also has been bought by Christian fascists. The money in the God business right now is at a peak because people are whipped into. It's not just the political machine that's being run by fear. The religious machine is being run by fear too. You know, contribute money because the queer Arabs are coming or something like that, and they're going to make your daughter have an abortion. I don't know what the latest scam is. I hate these people from the bottom of my heart. I hate them, but I kind of don't pay them any attention anymore. It's their world. I'm just passing through. You know what I'm saying? But this has happened with several in several markets that we've been in. I think Phoenix is the largest, where these Christo fascists determine that, you know, that the God business needs to show a little profit. And what better way to show profit than go to the owners of a station that may be carrying Air America program and offer them a couple mil and walking away with another radio property. But like I said, it sucks. If they got money to do that, why not take care of the poor people in Arizona that desperately need some help? God knows, or somebody knows, that Bush's Health and Human Services organization, Crime Family Branch, is not going to help anybody do anything. But there's so many Christians out there today who really have switched Jesus for money. They worship money. They worship propaganda. They're lying sons of bitches. They are no more aligned with the Christian Jesus than I'm aligned with Mao Zedong. So I wish I could say something to comfort you, Mike, in Tempe, Arizona, but there's nothing I can say. There really isn't. There will probably be more of this. There are more than one way, you see, to silence a liberal or a progressive network. There really there are several ways. And the other thing that kind of bugs me, the folks at KXXT, we're super group of talented people. In a large market in Phoenix, Arizona. This group, if you remember the Camp Casey thing, was it Billy that called in from, gave me the reports from Camp Casey, I believe? I think it was down in Texas, when that was going on this past fall, summer, I should say. So we're going to miss the outlet there. For you people in Phoenix who've been listening to us for whatever period of time you have, by us, I mean everybody that is either carried by the network Air America or syndicated by Air America. Adios, goodbye, and good luck, as Keith Olbermann would say. And everything will turn out all right. Phoenix needs another Christian radio station. You know, and, I mean, you got to have it. You got to have that old Christian money thing happening out there, right? God, these people are disgusting. Anyway, thanks, Phoenix. Thanks for having us for as long as you did. If you watched ABC tonight, Elizabeth Vargas, who is one of the co-anchors on ABC World News Tonight, had a sit down with the Bush bastard, and he's at an all-time low in his ratings. He's not as low as his old man was in 1992. He's not as low as Harry Truman was at one point in Truman's presidency. He's not as low as Lyndon Johnson was. That he's still got a way to go. Cheney is off the chart. Cheney's down to what, 18% approval rating? I can't understand what those 18%, what they've been smoking or eating or shooting up or, you know, whatever. But anyway, so Elizabeth Vargas decides to take a shot. Bob Schieffer did last week or 10 days ago, so now it's Elizabeth Vargas' turn. And it was astonishing to watch. I was sitting there tonight feeding Molly. I was feeding Molly, and we have a TV in the kitchen, and of course we have it behind Molly's back so she can't see it. And I'm watching this interview and feeding Molly, and I'll tell you about it just very briefly when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
When I first heard of Black Snake Blues, I was just a little monkey sitting in my room.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Definitely. These guys put on a killer show.
Great. Let's go.
Wait. It's just the open band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Anti-Drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet.
That's hard.
You do regular exercise.
That's harder.
You even get a colonoscopy.
The hardest.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks.
Now that's simple.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
Well, Club, we read a real classic, The Mac and Cheese Box. Let's discuss.
Oh, I loved it. The boiling of the water, the adding of the salt.
What about the French directions?
Yeah, bouillie d'eau de tasses. So romantic.
Yeah.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What about next month? How about the French fried onion can? I've been dying to read it. Oh.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
ecco, ecco, ecco a te. Siamo fino andante, siamo finale. Ma sta voce, io sta voce, se ne non ne faglio. Ma sta voce, io sta voce, se io te non faglio. Talk about it now, it now.
No subliminable messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
It's about 25 before the hour. So Bush was interviewed this evening by Elizabeth Vargas on ABC. And the astonishing part, while I'm sitting there feeding Molly, I'm watching this, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy, either this is an act or he is so totally divorced from reality as to almost require institutionalization of this guy. I'm serious. I mean, I really am. It was just incredible. If you remember some of the group therapy scenes in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, where not the Nicholson character, who was as sane as they come, but some of the other poor souls who were caught in there. This is what Bush reminds me of. Every time he talks, I'm looking around. Where's Nurse Ratched? She's got to be here someplace. But there he was. Another 60 people butchered in Baghdad today in the latest in the series of deadly attacks. This sectarian violence that's going on. Iraq is in the throes of a massive religion-driven civil war. These are not Democrats fighting libertarians. These are Shia fighting Sunnis. This is religion. You know, my concept of Muhammad is better than your concept of Muhammad. So therefore, I'm going to butcher your ass and all your family and all your offspring. I'm going to cut off your bloodline forever because I'm a psychopathic religious nut. It is a civil war. Now, as far as the blowing up of the mosque the other day, I think people of reasonable intelligence can come to the conclusion that that may have been a U.S. or a British action. Anything to destabilize. Look, the Bush crime family does not want stability in Iraq. That's the last thing they want. They want a low-level, low-intensity war that goes on forever. Because that gives them a political reason to be there. And it also gives them a strategic reason to be there. They don't want peace, my ass. They don't want peace in Iraq. The Bush bots, they're no more interested in peace than flying to the moon. But there sat Bush tonight with Elizabeth Vargas denying reality again. And he says that he has told the Iraqis they face a choice between chaos or unity. You arrogant son of a bitch. Can you believe this? Well, you face a choice. Chaos or unity. I'm the devil. I will make sure that this crap, murder, blood washes, continues to sop at your feet. When Elizabeth Vargas asked him, and don't even get me started on her. Don't even get me started on her. I mean, it's one thing to toss this dumb bastard softballs, but it's something else again to right on camera play the role of Monica to Bush's Clinton. Jesus, it was disgusting. And her pregnant. But she did it. Figuratively speaking, of course. She asked Bush, what will you do if civil war breaks out in Iraq? Elizabeth. Your partner and your partner's producer were almost blown into 1,000 pieces because of a civil war that's going on in Iraq. Jesus, God, why have we been cursed with this kind of a press, a group of press dumbasses in this country? Why? What have we done? We desperately need information. We desperately need facts and truth. And we get Elizabeth Vargas or Wolf Blitzer or Tucker Carlson or whoever these people are. But I digress. When asked that question about what would he do Well, I think she said, what would Washington do? Elizabeth, Washington is a city! It can't do anything! Ah, but that's the metaphor. Bush replied, I don't buy your premise that there's going to be a civil war. I don't buy your premise. Jesus, God, help me. Help me. Help me.
You're just upset because you've got a little crush on Elizabeth, and this is bursting your bubble.
Well, that may be true, but, you know.
You want to kiss her. You think she's pretty.
Bush brushed aside the CBS News poll numbers, not ABC, but CBS, that has him down around, what, 34% now? He said, nah. And I love the way Elizabeth handled that one, too. She says, well, now I know, Mr. President, that you don't pay any attention to poll numbers. Oh, you little sweetie, you don't pay any attention. I know you don't. Bush sits there and kind of blushes, and his little eyes go down and looks at her crossed legs. George, she's pregnant. And you know, yeah, I don't pay any attention to polls at all, he says. But Elizabeth pointed out to him that the polls, the CBS polls, were creating a very grim picture of his toy presidency that has cost the lives of God knows how many people. And he brushed the poll findings aside and he said they're not worth worrying about. You miserable bastard. He said, quote, I've got Apple Campbell, and I'm using it to spend freedom. To spread freedom and protect the American people. I got ample capital. I got capital. I got capital. I got capital. Uncle Dick tells me I got capital. And Turd Blossom tells me I have capital. And they all tell me I have capital. I've got capital. I've got capital. And I'm spreading the capital for freedom. I watch that, you know, and I just, I reach over and I watch, I wipe the mashed carrots off of Molly's mouth and just kind of reach over and hug her. Because I think, Jesus, God in heaven, I've got a 19-month-old sitting here who is going to be turned loose in this rat bastard's world. Oh, and he's going to India. Did you know that? He is going to India. George Bush is going to India. Now, it's my understanding that he is going to honor, while he's there, honor, try to get your mind around this. Be careful now, it might snap. He's going to honor Mahatma Gandhi. George Bush is going to honor Gandhi. One of Gandhi's grandsons, Arun Gandhi, said, quote, India is seeking business from the U.S. The U.S. wants markets for its products. So this Indo-U.S. relationship is nothing but an attempt to exploit each other. From the Western point of view, it is economic colonization. India has sold its soul to materialism and will bend over backwards to get some dollars from the U.S. The only way Bush can honor Gandhi is by taking a chapter from Gandhi's life and showing greater compassion for the poor people of the world, and not by laying a wreath at his memorial. Bush is a warmonger. He believes in peace through the barrel of a gun and has set the world on a course of violent devastation. Mahatma Gandhi had hope for greater compassion, respect, understanding between the peoples and nations of the world. That's Arun Gandhi. Mohandas Gandhi's grandson. Gandhi's granddaughter, Ella Gandhi. She spent 8 years under house arrest in South Africa, put there by the apartheid government. After the fall of apartheid, she was elected to the South African Parliament. Ella, or Ella Gandhi, said today that Gandhiji's, using the familiar, entire philosophy was based on two fundamental principles. One, the belief that people can change, that people, groups, and communities can transform. And two, that the force of truth and love, or satyagraha, driven by the spirit or soul force, can make a huge difference in the world in bringing about transformation. So when Bush, she says, who's planning to lay a wreath on the Gandhi Memorial in New Delhi during the year when we celebrate the centenary of Satyagraha, performs this act. I hope and pray that this act may help toward changing his beliefs and attitudes. I can only hope and pray that maybe some truth and some possible transformation in his philosophy is driving him to this sacred place. I pray that this contact with the spirit of Gandhiji may inspire him into changing his position on war and violence. I pray that this gesture may help him see that he must desist from committing the same error he did with Iraq, with Iran, or any other country or people. I hope he will be inspired by Gandhiji's implicit belief in the fact that wars cannot solve the problems of the world. They can only aggregate them. Gandhiji said, an eye for an eye will make the whole world blind. This from Gandhi's grandson and granddaughter.
I ain't going back to me.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain, it wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO. 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4-K-9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
like earning capital. I earned capital in the campaign, political capital, and now I intend to spend it. It is my style. That's what happened in after the 2000 election. I earned some capital, and I've earned capital in this election, and I'm going to spend it.
Sick bastard. What a sick, sick man. The I think India has within its borders the fifth or sixth largest Muslim population on earth. And I understand that the security arrangements for Bush have been unprecedented, which is true no matter where he goes. The son of a bitch can go to Norway, it's the same way. He can go where there's nothing but white Christians, and it's the same thing. This is the most hated man in modern history. Oh, after, I don't know, after Pol Pot, pick somebody. But the events that are waiting for him in India carry with them the potential for some real problems. Not for him. That son of a bitch floats above everything. But for death in the streets. Muslims, Hindus, police. You know what I'm saying. Now, as far just one more comment. I usually don't talk about company business on this program because I just don't think it's the cool thing to do. I know that some people on some networks or radio stations like to drag out all the company dirty laundry. I don't like to do that. I figure people don't give a damn, but in the first place. But this business about losing stations to these Christo fascists, this really has me irritated because. The company that bought KXXT in Phoenix, I believe they already have one or two Christian stations on in that city, so they're not interested in bringing the message of Jesus. They're interested in removing the message of Air America Radio. It's pretty simple. Now, when word gets out about this, of course, then the right-wingers, you know, these pissants like Limbaugh and Hannity and the rest of them say, well, you see, they lost another station, nobody cares. And, you know, a lot of people believe that. But it's simply not true. In any market where Air America has shown up, usually within 6 months, we are kicking ass and taking names and just stealing listeners left and right, plus bringing people back to talk radio. Don't forget, half of America who listened to talk radio walked away from it in 2000. They just couldn't take it anymore. So what Air America Radio does, wherever we land, is to bring people back to talk radio. Because all of a sudden there's something that makes sense. Among all the right-wing drivel. And I include these fake, phony-ass Christians. You people, I'll tell you what, you've constructed hell. You're going to burn in it. Trust me on that one. But it got me thinking, you know, these Christian liars, how many religions in the history of religion have all been the same, including Christianity? For example, the virgin birth, right? That's the foundation of Christianity, because the Christians are just terrified of, terrified of something. You know, when the story is told that Mary was a 16-year-old who got impregnated by some horny carpenter, you know, they go blotto. Oh, well, it wasn't the carpenter, it was the angel of God. Well, let's go back to Attis, who predated Christ, born of the virgin Nana. Mithras, where's he from? He's from somewhere in the Central Asian, born of a virgin. Buddha, born of the virgin Maya. The Buddha. Dionysos, born of a virgin. Jesus, born of a virgin. Heracles, born at the winter equinox of a virgin. Krishna, born of a virgin. Let me see who else. Osiris, born of a virgin. Zoroaster, born of a virgin. You know, it's just... Man, a lot of virgin births, huh? Oh, jeez. Who's your mama?
Elizabeth
virgin.
Vargas.
Who's your mama? That virgin over there. Who's your daddy? God. Who's yours? Oh, man. Now, one last thing here.
Bob in Las Cruces, New Mexico, just sent this in. In 1987, then-governor, Arizona Governor Evan Meacham, remember him? His education liaison, Jim Cooper, told members of the Arizona House Education Committee, quote, if a student wants to say the world is flat, the teacher doesn't have the right to try to prove otherwise, end quote. Well, guess what? State Senator Thayer Verschoor, a Republican from Gilbert, Arizona, is pushing legislation in that state that would allow college students to reject assignments that upset their religious, moral, or sexual beliefs. The law was proposed after a student objected to an assignment to read a novel that he didn't like. For that, this freak named Thayer Verschoor, what the hell kind of a name is that, wants to legally protect and even to promote ignorance. Incredible. Incredible. The writer of this, E.J. Montini from the Arizona Republic, says, so much for science, where some will object on religious grounds to proof that the Earth is about 4.5 billion years old and the universe roughly 12 billion. So much for the life sciences like biology. So much for the visual arts, for all of literature, for history. So much even for math, which the other sciences use in unlocking the puzzles of the world around us. Why would Arizona politicians go along with the plan that institutionalizes moronity? Because it works so well at the legislature. Thanks to Bob in Las Cruces who sent that in. You can reject. Oh, Jesus! Or somebody. Zoroaster! Oh, Zoroaster! Oh, Heracles, or Heracles, or, oh, Krishna, oh, Osiris. We'll be back after the break.
Bring on the king cake.
Les
bon temps brûlés.
That's it.
That's Laura with that.
That's what I meant.
We wake up in the morning to the ding dong ding.
Ding dong, here it comes.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet.
That's hard.
You do regular exercise.
That's harder.
You even get a colonoscopy.
The hardest.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks.
Now that's simple.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
Crowley, the Pentagon reports violence in Afghanistan is growing. The head of the Defense Intelligence Agency is telling Congress militants have boosted attacks 20% in the past year. Lieutenant General Michael Maples telling the Senate Armed Services Committee, Afghan rebels are, quote, a greater threat to the Afghan government than any time since 2001. In his testimony, Maples says militants almost quadrupled suicide attacks, more than doubled bomb attacks. He also spoke about Iraq. Maples says Sunni Arab militants are behind the religious violence in Iraq. He says they exploit social, economic, historical, and religious grievances. George Bush says for Iraqis, the choice is chaos or unity. Speaking to reporters during an Oval Office meeting with Italy's prime minister, Bush condemned the bombing of holy sites and the violence that has hit Iraq in the last week. He says insurgents want to destroy order to create chaos. But he says Iraqi leaders have made their choice to work toward a unified government. Bush is now starting a five-day trip to India and Pakistan. The nation's top intelligence official says the controversial ports deal poses a low threat to U.S. security. This is John Negroponte telling the Senate Armed Services Committee a month-long risk analysis of the deal did not raise any red flags. He told the panel members the low risk rating was the lowest one possible since, quote, there's no such thing as zero risk. George Bush, meanwhile, says he continues to support the takeover by Dubai Ports World of some operations at six U.S. ports. He says there's no reason to believe the second investigation into the deal would produce any different outcome than the first one. A public interest group suing the Secret Service for access to White House visitor logs that the group says would show how often lobbyist Jack Abramoff met with George Bush and his staff. Judicial Watch filing the lawsuit in U.S. District Court in Washington under the Federal Freedom of Information Act. They claim the Secret Service failed to meet a deadline for releasing the records or indicating how much more time it would need. Secret Service spokesman saying the agency was unaware of the lawsuit. Abramoff pleaded guilty in January to federal charges stemming from his lobbying practices and pledged to cooperate with the investigators. The White House has refused to say how many times Abramoff has been in to see Bush or aides. Bush's spokesman has said Abramoff was admitted to the White House complex for a few staff-level meetings and Hanukkah receptions. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back, about 7 past the hour. We are kind of saluting two cities tonight, New Orleans, for obvious reasons, and Phoenix, because tonight is our last night on the air on KXXT, the last night that Air America. We have been blindsided by a group of fake Christians who have decided that Air America preaches too much truth. I want to share with you just a little bit here, and then we're going to go on with the regularly scheduled program. Bob Christie is the... or soon to be was, the general manager at Air America Phoenix, that's KXXT. I've had a long relationship with Bob, a telephone relationship, back when Bob was in South Florida. And I feel like I know the man, even though we've never met. But like I said, we've just had just hours and hours and hours of conversation that usually would start out about radio, very quickly devolve or evolve into politics. And he wrote this. He wrote it today. Dear friends of Air America Phoenix, thanks to you, the staff, the listeners, and the clients for all you've done in the past 17 months. You helped take an unrated, unprofitable AM radio station and pushed it to tie for third place out of 25 AM stations in Phoenix. You took that same AM station and made it profitable in less than a year. And even after the sale was announced, you stood by Air America Phoenix, and we kept on making money even when our future was in doubt and we didn't know when our plug was going to be pulled. In fact, last month we were on the air was the third best month we've had financially. Air America Phoenix has now disappeared into the ether, and Phoenix is left with multiple Christian formats, some in English, others in Spanish, several brokered time stations, you know, the radio stations selling you vitamins, good bowel movements, and financial advice, a bag full of right-wing conservative talk stations featuring Rush and Sean and Laura and Bill Bennett and Savage and Medved and all their local imitators, three sports talk stations that live off the largesse of their sister stations in the big corporate clusters that dominate the dial in Phoenix. Is anyone really enjoying Tony Snow on KTAR? Did anyone ask for him? Phoenix has 60-odd radio signals on the AM and FM dial, and the best of those signals are owned by four companies, CBS, Clear Channel, Bonneville, and Sandusky. They play it safe, and considering the level of investment, it is certainly understandable. Innovation and change has to come from the smaller clusters and the one and two station owners. Will they innovate, take a chance like we did with the KXXT? Probably not. They never have, and they never will. Like the classic definition of insanity, they continue to do the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Only a special company like James Crystal Radio would let me take that chance. Thanks, Jim. Bob goes on with some personal stuff, and then he says, I need to thank all the great network people, Al, Mike, Stephanie, Sam and Janine, and of course my friend Ed Schultz, who was the first on, and signed, and Randy, I always love you more. This has been the single best experience I've had in broadcasting, better than being number one in Boston. KXXT has simply been the best. The people I've worked with at Air America Phoenix have been the most dedicated, hardworking, and they wouldn't leave when I tried twice to throw them out of the building. I love you all, and as Jan says, we are a family. Thanks for all you've done. Bob Christie, General Manager, Air America Phoenix, 1010 Talk, KXXT. So to the people in Phoenix who listen to this radio station, I don't know if that was read to you over the air or not on KXXT, but now it was. Soldiers Nicholas Kristof, who, for the most part, I just think he's an apologist for the status quo, but his column today, did you see it in the Times? You remember he references that photo op thing that Bush had with the soldiers. Remember that, where the mic was open and the soldiers in Iraq were being cued as to what to say, so that when Bush got on with them, it would all sound up tempo and upbeat and gung ho. Well, a new poll released today shows that U.S. soldiers now overwhelmingly want out of Iraq and soon. Now, the knee-jerk reaction is, well, hell yeah, who wants to be in a shooting war? But no, 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 this is different. This is entirely different. The poll is the first of U.S. troops currently serving in Iraq, and it's a Zogby poll. Didn't the pig man say that Zogby was the best pollster in America? Huh? It asked about 1,000 service members, how long should U.S. troops stay in Iraq? Only 23% backed Bush's position that they should stay as long as necessary. 72%. Of U.S. soldiers says U.S. troops should be pulled out within a year, and of those, 30% said they should withdraw immediately. So there's another little shard of evidence that Kristof says that shows our grim stay the course policy in Iraq has failed. Even the American troops on the ground don't buy it. Now, there was something in that poll, though, that caught my attention. I went on to read the poll itself, and this is really frightening. This is so scary. Almost 90% of the soldiers that were polled, about 1,000 of them, almost 90% think the war is retaliation for Saddam's role in 9/11. Jesus, God in heaven. That's 90% of the soldiers think that. So does that mean that if that 90% of the soldiers polled, if they knew the truth, they would lay down their weapons and walk away? What does this mean? It means one thing for sure, that Karl Rove and Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld and George Bush and all these neocon bastards who are taking young Americans and throwing them into this meat grinder are throwing these young Americans into the meat grinder based on the worst kind of lies. And the sons of bitches at the Army and Marine Corps training centers who inculcate into these young soldiers, these young troops, the ability to open fire regardless of what happens, damn you folks too for telling them lies, for lying to them, for lying to them. Damn you training instructors. Damn you for doing this to young Americans. 90% think that the war is in retaliation for Saddam Hussein's role in 9/11. Even though the Bush bastard, it's there, it's out there, we play it all the time, Randy Rhodes plays it, I don't know who else plays it, where Bush says Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11. The Bush crime family is making a mockery of the military. It's making a mockery of this country. And once again, I just wonder how long people who love this country, who love what we have spent 230 years trying to be, working towards being, how much longer we're going to allow the people who are destroying this country consciously and deliberately to remain in power. And I don't care if that's political power, media power, military power, wherever the power, these little nests of rancid, filthy, lying power resides. How much, you know, how much longer? Maybe forever. Maybe forever. And did you see any coverage about the civil disobedience protest against the war in Iraq, where 7 peace activists were arrested yesterday in front of the corrupted White House, holding a banner that read, God forgive America? Did you read about that? Hear about it? No, neither did I. Let me real quick tell you their names. Brian Terrell, Ed Bloomer, Elton Davis. They're all from Catholic worker communities in the Des Moines, Iowa area. David Goodner, University of Iowa student. Eileen Hansen, a Catholic worker from Winona, Minnesota. Jeff Lees, coordinator of Voices for Creative Nonviolence. And Bernie Meyer, retired social services worker from Olympia, Washington. They were arrested by U.S. Park Police. They were charged with the federal misdemeanor of demonstrating without a permit. They were fined $75 and released.
I've got a right to say the blues. I've got a right to feel low down.
We have no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
Hey, soldier, can you hear that?
But I've got a gal in this old town. She keeps dragging my poor heart around.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi. I'm David Orrick. A consumer alert was recently reported in a leading consumer testing magazine. It warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. I would never make a bagless vacuum because they're filthy. My 8-pound Orrick XL is hypoallergenic. Try one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Orrick XL.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm gonna smoke up. Wanna get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Hey, New Orleans, they tried to kill you. Done me a thing. Done me a thing. Come on back, New Orleans. All right, let's do some phone calls here before the program ends. That might be a good idea. Let's start with Paul, who's calling from Phoenix, listening to KXXT. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike Malloy, I'm sorry to hear you going.
Yeah?
Sorry to hear you going here in Phoenix. However, we still have you on XM, which is good.
And the Internet.
You know, which is good. And the Internet. And, you know, I wanted to correct one slight possible misconception. It is not my belief or my contention, and I believe that manager of KXXT also pointed this out, that the Christian radio station bought us out just to silence us. It was more of an economic type of thing. They could make more money with, I don't know, peddling religion, you know. So,
well, that may be part of it, but there is, trust me on this, I know I'm in the business, maybe you are too, but there is a strong undercurrent in Christian radio now to first of all, to buy up as many stations as they can, because there's a lot of money selling the blood of Jesus. That's A, but B is to put a stop to this outrageous Jew network, that's how we're referred to, the Jew network, Air America Radio. Because obviously we are controlled by Jews who want to do everything but burn Christians, you know, eat Christian babies and stuff like that. This is the undercurrent that's going on in this country, and don't think for a moment that it's not. To have a network like Air America out there in 90 markets, kicking ass and taking names, just taking radio stations, for example, KTLK in Los Angeles, and raising their market share in two books, 800%. That's 6 months.
Wow, in only two books?
Yeah, in 6 months.
That is incredible. Was that an Arbitron rating or what?
That's right, and that is in the key demographic of adults 25 to 54, which is what everybody wants in talk radio. At the same time, the Arbitron shows that Limbaugh and Hannity and the rest of these right-wing toads lost enormous market share in Los Angeles, which is not surprising. But the effort to silence this network is ongoing. It's permanent. It will always be there. They laughed their asses off when Air America Radio went public. Al Franken, Janine Garofalo, And little by little, this network has added stations, has taken over, has made an imprint, and now to kind of fly below the radar, because who's going to attack a good Christian, right? To fly below
right.
the radar, these Christian bastards, and that's what they are. They're no more followers of Christ than I'm a follower of dog dung. But what they are doing now is buying the stations in markets where Air America has done a good job, and take an enormous market share, and then just going right back to their jingoistic Christian nonsense, you know, send us $20 and we'll pray for you.
Yeah. You know, something funny, Mike, and this might come as a shock to you, but I was raised as an evangelical Christian, and I still consider myself a Christian, and I agree with you. I am totally shocked and amazed at what my religion and what my church has done. I am just shocked and amazed. These people spend more time thumping the Bible than reading it.
Well, that's it doesn't surprise me that you're shocked. I was brought up Baptist and Methodist. I understand that whole evangelical mindset. People who are followers of Christ, I have no problem with whatsoever. I think the message of Jesus, I should say, was a clear, moral, just, righteous message. I have problems with the mythology around any religion, but I don't disrespect someone who wants to believe in the truth and justice of what Jesus said, or Muhammad said, or the Buddha said, or Krishna said, because these were not violent people. These were people, in my opinion, that tried to bring a message of peace and justice and love, and most of them were murdered for it. So, you know, I don't have any problem with real Christians. I have problems with the fake Christians, that's all. Thanks for checking in, Paul. I appreciate it. And subscribe to XM and you can still hear us, all right? Or something. I don't know. It's so irritating. It's so irritating. I know what Paul means. I know exactly what he means. I was brought up in the Christian church, and I remember what we were taught. And it wasn't hate the queers, and it wasn't, there's something wrong with people of color, and it wasn't, hide because the Christians are being attacked. You know, it was get out in the world and do what Jesus told you to do. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the people in prison, heal the sick if you can, be righteous, be just, and be fair. And listen to jazz music.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, 3 buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. 2 little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Searchdog USA.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
There are 2 kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker, like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider, like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These 2 bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have Geico motorcycle insurance. Because Geico covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
It's good to see, be able to look in people's eyes and not see them all bloodshot.
Jesus Christ. 25 before the hour. Does everybody here know the name Rachel Corrie? The 23-year-old young woman, American woman, who was working in the occupied territories, trying to help Palestinians who were the objects of the violence that occurs in Israel and the occupied territories. And she was run over by a bulldozer being operated by an Israeli Defense Force member. Those who know the story better than I say she was murdered. Let me share something with you. This is from The Guardian of London. It's from tomorrow's, or The Guardian of the UK, from tomorrow's edition. The headline is, "Surely Americans will not put up with this censorship." Now, what this is about, the decision by a New York City theater to cave into pressure over a play about Rachel Corrie. The flights for cast and crew have been booked, the production schedule delivered, the press announcement drafted and approved, tickets advertised on the internet. The Royal Court production of My Name is Rachel Corrie, the play I co-edited with Alan Rickman, was transferring next month to the New York Theatre Workshop, home of the groundbreaking musical Rent, following two sellout runs in London and several awards. By the way, this is written by Catherine Viner. "We always thought it was a piece of work that needed to be seen in the U.S., created from the journals and emails of American activist Rachel Corrie, telling of her journey from her adolescent life in Seattle, Washington, to her death under a bulldozer in Gaza at the age of 23. We considered it, in a sense, to be an American story, which would have a particular relevance for audiences in Rachel's home country. After all, she had made her journey to the Middle East in order, quote, to meet the people who are on the receiving end of our American tax dollars," end quote. And she was killed by a U.S.-made bulldozer. But last week, the New York Theater Workshop canceled the production, or in their words, quote, postponed it indefinitely, end quote. The political climate, we were told, had changed dramatically since the play was booked. As James Nicola, the theater's artistic director, said yesterday, quote, "In our pre-production planning and our talking around and listening in our communities in New York, what we heard was that after Ariel Sharon's illness and the election of Hamas in the recent Palestinian elections, we had a very edgy situation," end quote. Rachel was to be censored for political reasons. It makes you wonder. If a young, middle-class, scrupulously fair-minded and dead American woman, whose superb writing about her job as a mental health worker, her ex-boyfriends, her troublesome parents, her struggle to find out who she wanted to be, and how she found that by traveling to Gaza and discovering the shocking conditions under which the Palestinians live, if a voice like this cannot be heard on a New York stage, what hope is there for anyone else? The non-American? The non-white, the non-dead, the oppressed? Anyone who sees the play or reads it realizes that this is no piece of alienating agitprop. One night in London, a group of American students came to a performance and mobbed us afterwards, thrilled that they had seen themselves on stage and who they might in a different life have become. Another night, an Israeli couple, members of the right-wing Likud party, on holiday in Britain, were similarly impressed. Quote, "The play wasn't against Israel, it was against violence," end quote, they told Cindy Corrie, Rachel's mother. "I was particularly touched by a young Jewish New Yorker from an Orthodox family who said that he had been nervous about coming to see My Name is Rachel Corrie because he had been told that both she and it were viciously anti-Israel. But he had been powerfully moved by Rachel's words and realized that he had, to his alarm, been dangerously misled." But the director of the New York Theater told the New York Times yesterday that it wasn't the people who actually saw the play he was concerned about. He said, quote, "I don't think we were worried about the audience. I think we were more worried that those who had never encountered her writing, never encountered the piece, would be using this as an opportunity to position their arguments," end quote. Since when did theater come to be about those who didn't go to see it? If the play itself, as Mr. Nicola clearly concedes, is not the problem, then isn't the answer to get people to watch it rather than exercising prior censorship? With freedom of speech now at the top of the international agenda, and George Clooney's outstanding "Good Night and Good Luck" reminding us of the dangers of not standing up to witch hunts, Americans should not be denied the right to hear Rachel Corrie's words that only 2 weeks ago were deemed acceptable. I've heard from American friends that life for dissenters has been getting worse. Wiretapping scandals, arrests for wearing anti-war T-shirts, Muslim professors denied visas. But it's hard to tell from afar how bad things really are. Here was a personal proof that the political climate is continuing to shift disturbingly, narrowing the scope of free debate and artistic expression. What was acceptable a matter of weeks ago is not acceptable now. The New York Theater's claim that the arrangement was tentative is absurd. The truth is that its management has caved into political pressure, and the reputation of the arts in New York is the poorer for it. It is surely underestimating the curiosity and robustness of the American public, many of whom would no doubt be interested in an insight into the reality of occupation that led to the Hamas victory. Artistic communities need to resist the censorship of voices that go against the grain of George Bush's America, rather than following the Fox News agenda and gagging them before they have even been heard. And if you're traveling to the UK, my name is Rachel Corrie. It will now be shown at the Playhouse Theatre in London's West End for March 28. Let's go back to your phone calls. John is calling from Las Vegas. John, welcome to the program.
It's always great to hear you. And I just appointed myself president of the Mike Malloy True Seeker Fan Club. I'm the piano tuner. I've been listening to you.
The piano tuner. Yes, sir. My man.
Remember, the government needs a major tune-up. That was my slogan. I told my wife I'm throwing the hat in the ring. I'm running for president.
Well, good for you.
But I have so many things. I was watching. Did you by chance see the African-American State of the Union with Travis Smiley on C-SPAN?
I did not.
All these great black leaders and Shirley Jackson Lee, Al Sharpton, Cornel West. And from the day I was born, I never saw color on anybody. And I'm telling you, we need a black president, somebody that's willing to speak the truth, or someone like you, obviously. But these are great leaders. And watching it last night, I couldn't turn it off. I watched it till like 12:30, and I think this country needs there's so many people that are, the white people that are so in they don't want to change the status quo. They're happy. I mean, how can you be happy? I went to the Phoenix Open first round a few weeks ago, and five soldiers were killed. And as I'm walking in, I was really kind of bummed out. And as you walk into a big golf tournament, it hits you. It's all corporate. It's all money. Everybody's happy.
Sure.
Everybody, oh, look at this. We're having fun. And all I could think of was the five soldiers that died that morning. And I'm thinking, these are all Bush supporters. I'm down in Phoenix, so I know they're all Bush supporters. And now they got more air pollution than anybody with eight Christian stations. I mean, so many things are just at my, I just want to hear the truth. I tell everybody I see, by the way, if you want the truth, listen to Mike Malloy. That's it. End of story. 7 to 10 every night. That's all you do.
Not anymore.
Huh?
Not anymore.
Well, I'm just so, I'm the president of your fan club, though. So as official president, I just want to say I'm taking donations now if anybody wants to send them to me. But there's so many things.
What are you going to do with the donations?
I'm going to
have a few, right?
Help people. No, I'm going to help people in New Orleans. But anyway, I'm just going to say, people, if you could see that C-SPAN.
If I get a chance, I'll try to check it out. I look at it this way. I don't care if they're white, black, Latino, or Slavovian. They're good folks in every race, and they're charlatans, liars, hustlers, and pimps in every race. I happen to believe that most of the members of the Congressional Black Caucus understand in a visceral way what is going on in this country, in a way that maybe a lot of white folk don't understand, because black folk have been dealing with this for 400 years. So they have a huge lead over white America in understanding what oppression is about. So, the only thing I'm afraid of is just labeling all whites or all blacks or all Latinos.
I'm not really doing that. What I'm doing is just saying we need a wake-up call, and I just use it, being a white person, that always in my life, I've always known there's so many white people that just don't get it about racism in the closet. They don't realize they're racist. You know, I have black friends. I have Chinese friends. They don't understand that it's all about what's inside. It's always been that. But as long as they're happy, they don't want to change anything. And did you see that Rosa Parks thing on HBO? It occurred to me that if I was living in the 50s,
John, be cool. You can't.
I'd say, come to the front of the bus. I mean,
I hear you. John, there's the break music. Thank you, sir. I appreciate
your
call.
Man, your fan
Take
club.
Care. I got to leave it there. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Yeah, definitely. These guys put on a killer show.
Great, let's go.
Wait, it's just the opening band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Happy Mardi Gras, New Orleans. 10 before the hour. Back to phone calls here. Edie is calling from Atlanta. Edie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Oh, wow. Well, didn't you know that George Bush was raised by Nurse Ratched?
Yeah. No, that was Ma Barker.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean.
He's got a split personality. Why shouldn't she?
That's true.
I always want to leave you with these words from the philosopher Chris Rock.
Oh, I like that's my favorite philosopher.
I ain't afraid about Qaeda. I'm afraid about cracker. He said that. And I think that says it all.
It does indeed.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Edie. Habu is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Habu, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I like what I've been listening recently of you. You show great passion, and you look at it in a very systematic way. I mean, even sometimes people like Amy Goodman, etc., do not have that kind of passion, somewhat dispassionate. But anyway, if I may make my point, and that is this whole notion of sectarian violence was deigned. It was by design, and here the impulsive reaction is, oh, these people, look at them, they're killing each other over religion.
Mm-hmm.
And while that may be some of what is occurring, this was set up the moment we entered Iraq. Yes, of course, Saddam Hussein was very repressive. At least the people had personal freedoms. They didn't have political freedom. Now they probably have neither. They may have more political freedom, whatever that's worth, but they have no personal freedom. Just imagine going out. You don't know if you're going to be blown up.
Mm-hmm.
I am of the impression, although I don't know this, I get the impression that there's a lot of sadism occurring by, the occupying forces against the local people.
Well, that's the impression I get. Also, when British soldiers are discovered in a car loaded with explosives dressed in traditional Arab dress, it makes you wonder who's blowing up whom. We have American contractors. I'm not saying American troops necessarily are doing this, although after Abu Ghraib and Bagram and Guantanamo, I question everything now. But we have private contractors, killers, hired killers. In any other time in the United States, these people would be taken out and hanged after a trial, of course. But these are private contractors now hired by Halliburton or the Defense Department to go to Iraq, to go to Kyrgyzstan, to go to Pakistan, to go to all these countries in Central Asia and commit acts of murder, arson, bombings, blowing things up. I'm having trouble now, all of a sudden, believing that the bombing of the mosque was perpetrated by who's being blamed? Sunnis. I'm having trouble with this because I understand the viciousness that the Bush crime family is willing, able, and a matter of fact, seems to enjoy putting out there for public consumption. So. It's a horrifying situation. If were I an Iraqi, I guess at this point I would be doing anything I could to get out of my own country, to get away from the killing machine that the U.S. and the U.K. Brought to that country. I that's all I can say.
Yeah, and one other point, what this is going to do is these other repressive regimes around there, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, etc., they're going to look and say, you want us to adopt a democracy?
Right.
Are you kidding?
Right.
And they're going to keep their people even under tighter shackles. And another thing is, I can see Iraqis are going to get the final laugh when they say, okay, this is what you've done to us. You've wrecked our country. We are going to wreck the oil infrastructure of the Gulf countries. You know, if they can get the U.S. to leave there with their tail behind their between their legs, there's nothing stopping them going into Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and these pinpot petrol stations on the Gulf. mm-hmm. and really wreaking havoc. And that is what will affect the West. It's not you know, democracy or any of that. I mean, for their whole lives, and to say nothing about depleted uranium, their whole lives kind of just turned and completely shattered. I mean, my heart goes out to these people, and of course the poor people of this country who've paid the ultimate price.
It's a horrifying situation. I don't even know. I'm out of feelings about it. When I think about, I can no longer look at pictures of children blown to pieces in Iraq. I can't look at pictures of adults blown to pieces. I can't hear the stories of the atrocities any longer. I'm a human being. I'm fragile. There's only so much that I can take before my mind starts to snap and my heart starts to break and my spirit just evaporates and I become somebody who just doesn't give a good goddamn about anything. And I can't go that way. I lose my humanity if I do. And I say that, I think, for most people. I grieve for American soldiers who are being sent there and who are having not only their youth or in some cases their middle age taken from them by this vicious regime in the United States, but are also going to be prisoners of their own witness for the rest of their lives, just like the people from Vietnam, the American soldiers that came back from Vietnam, who are still in anguish 40 years later. It's a horrible, horrible situation, and I have to leave it there. I appreciate you checking in, Habu. I'm sorry, sir. We just have to go. Quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
Love is nice when it's understood. Even nicer when you're feeling good. Got me flipping.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers. Business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. President Bush says Iraqis are facing a choice of chaos or unity. Speaking at the White House, he claimed Iraqi leaders he had spoken with have chosen to work toward a unity government. However, the main Sunni political bloc in Iraq has said it's not ready to end its boycott of negotiations, citing last week's bombing of a holy mosque. Meantime, bomb attacks in Baghdad killed at least 60 people Tuesday. Nearly two dozen died when a car bomb exploded near a Shiite mosque. A new poll reveals President Bush's approval rating and the handling of the war in Iraq is falling to an all-time low. And former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter is in Seattle calling the war in Iraq a debacle.
The troops will come home eventually. They're either going to come home in a year if we can get them home, or 5 years, or 10 years. There will not be anything glorious about this Iraqi experience. This will be a disaster that goes beyond the Vietnam experience. There is no honor in this war.
Scott Ritter was last in Iraq in 2002. A top official from the Arab company taking over operations at six U.S. ports says the deal will enhance port security. Edward Bilkey, the chief operating officer of Dubai Ports World, says the company's security measures will benefit the U.S.
I firmly believe that the security of our country, the United States, is well served and in fact enhanced on numerous levels by allowing this transaction to go forward.
Bilkey testified before the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee. He says the deal to transfer operations was done with adequate government review and was not secretive. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry disagrees.
A secretive government committee hastily approved the transaction.
The deal is expected to close this week, but the Bush administration is taking on a new 45-day review of that agreement. Pro-life groups are applauding Tuesday's Supreme Court ruling that will make it easier for protesters to prevent women from entering abortion clinics. The high court ruling involved a 20-year-old lawsuit filed by the National Organization for Women and other groups. The suit sought to stop anti-abortion groups from using violent demonstrations to close off access to abortion clinics. Manuscripts penned by Mozart, Bach, and Beethoven have a new home in New York's Juilliard School. The school board's chairman donated 139 manuscripts, a collection many consider priceless. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Come on.
Happy Mardi Gras to New Orleans, and goodbye to Phoenix. We are kind of acknowledging both cities tonight. This is Air America's last broadcast at KXXT in Phoenix. I guess we wrap it up, don't we, Kathy? We're the end of the train here, so to speak. For Phoenix, you folks in Phoenix get another phony Christian radio station to have your mind hammered with. And in New Orleans, the station or stations that carry us there have been back on the air for a while. So to those stations, happy Mardi Gras. Back to some phone calls. Kirk is calling from Massachusetts. Kirk, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, Mike, you can add Merlin to those virgin births.
Merlin?
Yeah, the wizard of...
I know who Merlin is. He was born of a virgin, too.
According to the miniseries that I saw Merlin, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I always believe in the miniseries.
Back to the point of my call.
Right.
You were talking about the food legislation.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. There's a book called Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About by Kevin Trudeau, Trudeau.
Uh huh.
He's a big supporter of organic foods and homeopathic remedies, all the natural stuff. He talks about the corruption in the food industry, the drug industry, and also corruption in the FDA and the Federal Trade Commission as well.
Mm-hmm.
How the FDA, most of the commissioners there are work for the pharmaceutical industry.
Right.
Yeah. And how some of the bad additives in the food. In the foods like high fructose corn syrup and MSG, all that. He talks about a lot about that in his.
Right. Well, I think most people have become conscious. Maybe most is the wrong modifier. A lot of people have become conscious in this country about what the factory food industry is doing to the food supply. It's a horror that's just flying way below the radar. And the only reason that I became aware of this legislation, I had no idea. Who's going to tell me? Bob Schieffer? Somebody on CNN? Hell no. The only reason I became aware of it is because somebody sent me an email. Several people sent me emails about this legislation, about this vote coming up, Thursday or Friday. They always do this kind of garbage towards the end of the week so they can take the vote, duck out of town, and the news cycles are not going to be there to hammer and let the American public know what just happened.
I'm sure my congressman, the governor, is going to be opposed to this one. I'll definitely call him about this tomorrow. About this.
All right. Well, listen, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, Kirk. It's just one more. I mean, the whole Dubai, United Arab Emirates running the ports thing, it has nothing to do with, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't, Truth Seeker. I'm sorry. Has nothing to do with a further threat to the security of this country. This country has never been more unsecured than it has been in the 5 years that this son of a bitch has stolen the presidency and squats in the White House. We are totally unsecured. The UAE ports thing is a red herring. We went through all this. I'm not even going to revisit it. But the food thing is just one more example. It's about the money. The UAE thing is about the money. The Filthy Skies Initiative is about the money. The smash down the trees in the public forest is about the money. It's all about the money. These greedy bastards, how much do they need? Jesus, God, how much do they need? $1 billion? $10 billion? Why not let these greedy sons of bitches have billions? Just go away. Take the money. Take it. Just go. You filthy pigs, you killers, you murderers, you destroyers of hope and dignity and decency. Oops. Never mind. You feel the same way, too. I know you do. Bill is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hello, hello, Mr. Malloy. Tonight, it's an honor, but it's sorrow.
Well, my pleasure to, this is it, pal.
Yeah, I know, but Mike, I can't help but think it's contrived.
Well, I'm convinced it is. It's not a question of Phoenix, of KXXT not making money with our programming. They make money. It's not a question of not having ratings. They have ratings.
It was a minor miracle.
Right. It was a question of shutting us down. And it's being done. It's being done. It's being done here in Atlanta.
Do you know what that man did in this market, your friend Bob Christie? He did nothing short of a miracle.
He did. He's a very talented, decent man.
Let's put a face on what happens when an Air America station goes down, Mike. There was a community here of Air America listeners, some fans, your fans, who I was with this evening, that is just this most outstanding community out here in this red zone, all us little blue people, right?
Yeah.
It's not so few of us, Mike.
Oh, I know.
It's not. They'd like to let you think that it's a few of us.
It's an enormous audience. When Air America Phoenix goes from nothing to the third most listened to radio station in that city in 17 months, that isn't done unless there are literally hundreds of thousands of listeners. I don't know what your population of Phoenix, but I understand you're the fifth biggest market in America now.
Air America got people out to a street corner in Phoenix one night. Mike, it was the most amazing thing for all the candlelight. We were protesting that night. Mm-hmm. Without Air America, you know it, I know it. The nation's got to know it. Nobody would have known we had to be out on that corner that evening, except our station. Mm-hmm. Let us know. Our good people in the morning motivated us, got us going, doing the things we need to do. They're scared, Mike. And there's nothing. That's all there is to it.
I know.
We scared the hell out of them, Mike.
That's true. The combination of the talent, local talent on KXXT, and what this network provided was enough to kick ass and take names. And I'll tell you something. Nothing scares these right wing bastards more than to lose control when they think they've got control. These neo Nazis, the Christo fascists, whatever, the Christo fascists, the Islamic fascists. I don't give a damn. I don't make a distinction. The Jewish fascists. I don't make any distinctions anymore. These hate filled people who insist on controlling the message are filthy. They're just filthy. And this is happening. And it is a contrived effort. It is a definite effort. And Air America struggles against this in every single market that we are in. On the one hand, we are profitable in these markets. We produce ratings. We gather in listeners. People say, what the hell is this? And they come home. And on the other hand, the right wing, the power, whatever you want to call it, the Republicans, the neo-Nazis, the neoconservatives, the fake Christians, they go out of their minds and they say, well, there's one way to handle this. We're going to buy them out. Now, we don't own any stations. We're a network. We don't own any stations. So it is not difficult to go in where Air America programming is, find out who owns it, and say, look, your station's worth $5 million. We'll give you $8 million. What's the owner going to do? What's an owner going to do except say, yeah, well,
but
okay.
Like the talent that's going to waste now, the people we had on this station in the morning, on the weekends, Charles Goyette in the morning, our Mike in the morning, uh-huh. And on the weekend we had these two brothers, McChesney, they had facts and figures, they knew it all, they were wonderful. Mike, what we lose is something so very huge. There are so many people in poor Phoenix tonight that are feeling so bad. Guys, just let Billy let you know. My heart's with you, and it always will be. I love you, Mike.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. I'm getting a bunch of emails here. I don't know anything about Kevin Trudeau, but all of a sudden I'm getting a bunch of emails that say the guy's a convicted felon, he's a liar, he's a snake oil salesman. I have no idea. I don't know who he is. Caller mentioned him, and I'm sitting here going, yeah, okay. I appreciate the heads up. Maybe somebody will send me something that who this. I have no idea. I really don't. But I'm like Bart Cop, I'm not very smart. I'm just a hard worker. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
on your pony and ride. All right.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm gonna smoke up. Wanna get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet.
That's hard.
You do regular exercise.
That's harder.
You even get a colonoscopy.
The hardest.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent one out of three heart attacks.
Now that's simple.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
Future, it's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, coming up in about 10 minutes, We're in part two, chapter two of George Orwell's 1984. Back to your calls. Bruce is calling from California. Bruce, welcome to the program.
As much as Miguel.
Hey.
I wanted to use you tonight. I want to talk about the South Dakota abortion law and to make a suggestion that I hope somebody in South Dakota is going to hear and maybe take and run with it. My thought is that the law itself was clearly passed specifically so that it could get before the Supreme Court with the new makeup. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the reason that they went through the motions to pass something that they knew wouldn't have passed muster.
Right.
And they're clearly expecting that the pro-choice forces are going to be, taking it to court. And I believe that they should go the opposite way. I think what they should do is circulate a petition within the state of South Dakota to actually use it as the same kind of wedge issue that the Republicans use to bring out their conservative base to try to get their agenda on the ballot. Use it to throw the bums out of the state house in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than going, in other words, most of the time in warfare, your best bet is always to do what you're not expected to do.
Right.
And I believe that the pro-choice forces should do what they're not expecting. They're fully anticipating this to go to the Supreme Court.
Well, let me interject if I may. I think this is very important. You're doing what I've done for years, and I'm trying to correct myself. And since you called, I'm going to offer the correction to you. Let's change the word from pro-choice to pro-privacy, right. Because that's what this issue is. Roe v. Wade was based on a perceived right of privacy within the U.S. Constitution. It had nothing to do with the right to choose an abortion if one wanted one. I hate it when I hear the pro-privacy people saying, we're here to protect a woman's right to choose. In the first place, choose what? A frozen dinner for supper? That's nonsense. It ought to be, and this is where the progressive side has dropped the ball on this issue and continues to stumble and fumble and not get their message out. This is not about the right to choose whether or not one wants to terminate a pregnancy. That is nobody's business except the woman, her doctor, her concept of morality, and hopefully the male who'll help get her pregnant. What this is about is the right to a private life, whether it involves the gender of your sex partner or what's going on inside your womb. This is pro-privacy, and until... the so-called pro-choice movement makes that distinction, they're going to continue to lose, especially given what this new Supreme Court is like, what these new state legislatures are like. This is a privacy issue, and that's the way it should be presented.
I really appreciate that. That's really, you're wise. That's you're right. I mean, I haven't heard it stated that way, but I really agree with you.
Well, I just hope that folks who believe in that there is some areas of a person's life, for God's sake, who they sleep with, whether or not they terminate pregnancies, what they do on the internet is nobody's business, and certainly not government's. The only possible business it would be of someone other than the individual is that individual's family members, their closest friends, or what have you. But for God's sake, since when does government, you see, have the right to step inside the bedroom, step inside the womb, step inside the doctor's offices and say to people, you can do this, you can't do that? What's next? They're going to say you can't get treated for tuberculosis? This is insane. But we live in an insane country right now.
I am really hopeful that that somehow or other that the South Dakotans will hear this and will challenge the law within the state and maybe throw the bums out and begin and use it as a wedge issue.
I hope something happens. Bruce, thanks.
I hope so, too.
All right, sir.
Appreciate talking to you.
All right. My pleasure. Thank you, sir. Sean is calling from Santa Cruz with the same issue. Sean, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
I hear you just fine.
Okay. Well, this is the first time I've been able to make it through to any of these programs.
Oh, my.
And, well, I guess your previous caller brought up some of the points I wanted to, but I more or less have a thing. What you described is that this pro-choice is a weak choice.
Yeah, it is. It's not about choice. It's about privacy.
Well, I have a little different take on it. If you don't mind, I'd like to describe it.
If you can do it quickly, go ahead, sir.
Okay. Pro-choice seems to be a limited in description when pro-life brand pro-choice backers as baby killers, fetus murderers, etc. So what should the pro-life supporters be branded with? The primary effect of their position that pro-life supporters will produce forced birthing, forced maintained pregnancy, and babies forced into a world where adequate parental resources do not exist. Pro-life supporters concern themselves only with the fetus and forget the baby and the child.
Right. Well, I see, Sean, I have to interrupt because we're running out of time here. I agree with that. But the language that this whole thing is framed in, this is not about murdering babies. This is not about anything other than the right of privacy. In this instance, the right of a woman to have privacy without the intrusion of the good God in heaven federal government. That's what this is about. And I think the language ought to be limited to that specific point. Sean, I have to leave it there. I appreciate your call. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
What are you reading?
Shotokan.
Like it?
I've read it before.
Yeah, me too. I found it rather predictable. Carbonated water, aspartame.
I like the part about the final ketonuric, though. Sounds so ominous.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What do you think the author meant by canned under the authority of?
Ooh, that part did seem to come out of nowhere.
That's what I thought.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
Hi, I'm Mike Malloy, and if you're as sick of the Bush crime family as I am, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com. And when you get there, you're going to find the board game that's taking America by storm, Impeached. Whether you play games or not, Impeached is a must-have item that serves as a constant reminder by exposing the crimes, the greed, and the stupidity of George W. and his hoodlum cohorts. ImpeachBushGame.com only offers anti-Bush merchandise, including the Bush Voodoo Doll. Buy your game today at ImpeachBushGame.com.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Definitely. This guy's put on a killer show.
Great. Let's go.
Wait. You should steal from the band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
We'll be right back. 26 before the hour. All right, when we left off last night in Orwell's 1984, Winston Smith and Julia have finally decided to meet out in the country. She tells him of a place, gives him directions on how to find his way there, and obviously they're going out there to meet for sex. And they find each other. He follows the directions that she gave him. They find each other, and there is this momentary lunge toward each other, and Winston Smith finds himself impotent. There is just absolutely nothing he can do in that particular moment. So they sit there on the grass. She has her arm around his waist.
Never mind, dear. There's no hurry. We've got the whole afternoon. Isn't this a splendid hideout? I found it when I got lost once on a community hike. If anyone was coming, you could hear them 100 meters away.
What is your name? Said Winston.
Julia. I know yours. It's Winston. Winston Smith.
How did you find that out?
I expect I'm better at finding things out than you are, dear. Tell me, what did you think of me before the day I gave you the note?
He did not feel any temptation to tell lies to her. It was even a sort of love offering to start off by telling the worst. I hated the sight of you, he said. I wanted to rape you and then murder you afterwards. 2 weeks ago, I thought seriously of smashing your head in with a cobblestone. If you really want to know, I imagined you had something to do with the thought police. The girl laughed delightedly, evidently taking this as a tribute to the excellence of her disguise.
Not the thought police. You didn't honestly think that.
Well, perhaps not exactly that, but from your general appearance, merely because you're young and fresh and healthy, you understand, I thought that probably...
You thought I was a good party member, pure in word and deed. Banners, processions, slogans, games, community hikes, all that stuff. And you thought that if I had a quarter of a chance, I'd denounce you as a thought criminal and get you killed off?
Well, yes, something like that. The great many young girls are like that, you know.
It's this bloody thing that does it,
she said, ripping off the scarlet sash of the Junior Anti-Sex League and flinging it onto a bough. Then, as though touching her waist had reminded her of something, she felt in the pocket of her overalls and produced a small slab of chocolate. She broke it in half and gave one of the pieces to Winston. Even before he had taken it, he knew by the smell that it was very unusual chocolate. It was dark and shiny and was wrapped in silver paper. Chocolate normally was dull brown crumbly stuff that tasted, as nearly as one could describe it, like the smoke of a rubbish fire. But at some time or another he had tasted chocolate like the piece she had just given him. The first whiff of its scent had stirred something, some memory which he could not pin down, but which was powerful and troubling. Where did you get this stuff? He said.
Black market,
she said indifferently.
Actually, I am that sort of girl to look at. I'm good at games. I was a troop leader at the Spies. I do voluntary work 3 evenings a week at the Junior Anti-Sex League. Hours and hours I've spent pasting those bloody rot all over London. I always carry one end of a banner in the processions. I always look cheerful, and I never shirk anything. Always yell with the crowd. That's what I say. It's the only way to be safe.
The first fragment of chocolate had melted on Winston's tongue. The taste was delightful. But there was still that memory moving around the edges of his consciousness, something strongly felt but not reducible to definite shape, like an object seen out of the corner of one's eye. He pushed it away from him, aware only that it was the memory of some action which he would have liked to undo but could not. You are very young, he said. You are 10 or 15 years younger than I am. What could you see to attract you in a man like me?
It was something in your face. I thought I'd take a chance. I'm good at spotting people who don't belong. As soon as I saw you, I knew you were against them.
Them, it appeared, meant the party. And above all, the inner party, about whom she talked with an open, jeering hatred which made Winston feel uneasy, although he knew that they were safe here if they could be safe anywhere. A thing that astonished him about her was the coarseness of her language. Party members were supposed not to swear, and Winston himself very seldom did swear, aloud at any rate. Julia, however, seemed unable to mention the party, and especially the inner party, without using the kind of words that you saw chalked up in dripping alleyways. He did not dislike it. It was merely one symptom of her revolt against the party and all its ways, and somehow it seemed natural and healthy, like the sneeze of a horse that smells of bad hay. They had left the clearing and were wandering again through the checkered shade. with their arms around each other's waist whenever it was wide enough to walk two abreast. He noticed how much softer her waist seemed to feel now that the sash was gone. They did not speak above a whisper. Outside the clearing, Julia said it was better to go quietly. Presently, they had reached the edge of the little wood. She stopped him.
Don't go out into the open. There might be someone watching. We're all right if we keep behind the boughs.
They were standing in the shade of hazel bushes. The sunlight, filtering through innumerable leaves, was still hot on their faces. Winston looked out into the field beyond and underwent a curious, slow shock of recognition. He knew it by sight. An old, close-bitten pasture, with a footpath wandering across it, and a molehill here and there, and the ragged hedge on the opposite side. The bough of the elm trees swayed just perceptibly in the breeze, and their leaves stirred faintly in dense masses like women's hair. Surely, somewhere nearby, but out of sight, there must be a stream with green pools where dace were swimming. Isn't there a stream somewhere near here, he whispered.
That's right, there is a stream. It's at the edge of the next field, actually. There are fish in it, great big ones. You can watch them lying in the pools under the willow trees, waving their tails.
It's the Golden Country, almost, he murmured.
The Golden Country?
It's nothing, really. A landscape I've seen sometimes in a dream.
Look,
whispered Julia. A thrush had alighted on a bough not 5 meters, almost at the level of their faces. Perhaps it had not seen them. It was in the sun, they in the shade. It spread out its wings, fitted them carefully into place again, ducked its head for a moment, as though making a sort of obeisance to the sun, and then began to pour forth a torrent of song. In the afternoon hush, the volume of sound was startling. Winston and Julia clung together, fascinated. The music went on and on, minute after minute, with astonishing variations, never once repeating itself, almost as though the bird were deliberately showing off its virtuosity. Sometimes it stopped for a few seconds, spread out and resettled its wings, then swelled its speckled breast and again burst into song. Winston watched it with a sort of vague reverence. For whom, for what, was that bird singing? No mate, no rival was watching it. What made it sit at the edge of the lonely wood and pour its music into nothingness? He wondered whether, after all, there was a microphone hidden somewhere near. He and Julia had spoken only in low whispers, and it would not pick up what they had said, but it would pick up the thrush. Perhaps at the end of the instrument some small, beetle-like man was listening intently, listening to that. But by degrees the flood of music drove all speculations out of his mind. It was as though it were a kind of liquid stuff that poured all over him and got mixed up with the sunlight that filtered through the leaves. He stopped thinking and merely felt. The girl's waist and the bend of his arm was soft and warm. He pulled her round so that they were breast to breast. Her body seemed to melt into his. Wherever his hands moved, it was all as yielding as water. Their mouths clung together. It was quite different from the hard kisses they had exchanged earlier. When they moved their faces apart, again, both of them sighed deeply. The bird took fright and fled with a clatter of wings. Winston put his lips against her ear. Now, he whispered.
Not here. Come back to the hideout, it's safer.
Quickly, with an occasional crackle of twigs, they thread their way back to the clearing. When they were once inside the ring of saplings, she turned and faced him. They were both breathing fast, but the smile had reappeared round the corners of her mouth. She stood looking at him for an instant, then felt at the zipper of her overalls. And yes, it was almost as if it was in his dream. Almost as swiftly as he had imagined it, she had torn her clothes off. And when she flung them aside, it was with that same magnificent gesture by which a whole civilization seemed to be annihilated. Her body gleamed white in the sun, but for a moment he did not look at her body. His eyes were anchored by the freckled face with its faint, bold smile. He knelt down before her and took her hands in his. Have you done this before?
Of course, hundreds of times. Well, scores of times, anyway.
With party members?
Yes, always with party members.
With members of the inner party?
Not with those swine, no, but there are plenty that would if they got half a chance. They're not so holy as they make out.
His heart leapt. Scores of times she had done it. He wished it had been hundreds, thousands. Anything that hinted at corruption always filled him with a wild hope. Who knew? Perhaps the party was rotten under the surface, its cult of strenuousness and self-denial simply a sham concealing iniquity. If he could have infected the whole of them with leprosy or syphilis, how gladly he would have done so. Anything to rot, to weaken, to undermine. He pulled her down so that they were kneeling face to face. Listen, The more men you've had, the more I love you. Do you understand that?
Yes, perfectly.
I hate purity. I hate goodness. I don't want any virtue to exist anywhere. I want everyone to be corrupt to the bones.
Well, then I ought to suit you, dear. I'm corrupt to the bones.
You like doing this? I don't mean simply me. I mean the thing in itself.
I adore it.
That was above all what he wanted to hear. Not merely the love of one person, but the animal instinct. The simple, undifferentiated desire. That was the force that would tear the party to pieces. He pressed her down upon the grass among the fallen bluebells. This time, there was no difficulty. Presently, the rising and falling of their breasts slowed to normal speed, and the sort of pleasant helplessness, they fell apart. The sun seemed to have grown hotter. They were both sleepy. He reached out for the discarded overalls and pulled them partly over her. Almost immediately, they fell asleep and slept for about half an hour. Winston woke first. He sat up and watched the freckled face, still peacefully asleep, pillowed on the palm of her hand. Except for her mouth, you could not call her beautiful. There was a line or two round the eyes, if you look closely. The short, dark hair was extraordinarily thick and soft. It occurred to him that he still did not know her surname or where she lived. The strong, young body, now helpless in sleep, awoke in him a pitying, protecting feeling. But the mindless tenderness that he had felt under the hazel tree while the thrush was singing had not quite come back. He pulled the overalls aside and studied her mouth. He studied her smooth white flank. In the old days, he thought, a man looked at a girl's body and saw that it was desirable, and that was the end of the story. But you could not have pure love or pure lust nowadays. No emotion was pure because everything was mixed up with fear and hatred. Their embrace had been a battle, a climax, a victory. It was a blow struck against the party. It was a political act.
And until it ends, I need your love so bad.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Did you know that most vacuums sold today spew dust and bacteria back into the air your family breathes? It's disgusting, I know. Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I want to assure you that my 8-pound Orrick XL does not blow dirt back into the air. For a healthier environment, you want a hypoallergenic Orrick XL. Call me at 1-800-989-4200 for a free 30-day trial. 1-800-989-4200. I promise, my Orrick XL won't blow dirt back into the air. Ever.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4-K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 8 minutes before the hour. I don't know how that happened. What, did we break late? I guess we did. All right, anyway, laissez-les bon temps rouler, truth seekers. All right, Kathy. Kathy's sitting there lying at me because she took French and I took Spanish. Go ahead, you say it. Go ahead.
Laissez-les bon temps rouler. What's so hard about that?
We'd like to thank our group in New York for producing this program for us tonight. It was engineered by Justin Yuan and Stan Stolpiak. Many thanks to Jason Isaac, who's in New Orleans, for the great music tonight, too. Thanks, everybody. D. Neal is our associate producer. Thanks for the king cake, D. And everybody else has said it is. We're going to go home and have more sugar. Also, our crew that provides so much of this program, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, and the famous Jim in Arkansas, who is our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is our executive producer and oversees this. Marge is calling from Indiana. Hey, Marge. Happy Mardi Gras Day.
Well, on this fat Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, did you have your punch key today?
No, I'm not. I don't. You know.
You know what punch key is.
I know what punch key is. Yeah, you got to be Polish to do that.
Well, not necessarily, but they started it.
I know, they did. I grew up in a predominantly Polish Catholic neighborhood when I was a kid, so yeah.
Did you know? Did you live in Chicago long enough to know their credo on Election Day?
Probably, but go ahead. Let me hear it again.
Vote early, vote often.
Yes. Whether you're dead or alive.
Well, by all means. Well, you know, they've managed to spread that through the state.
Oh, yeah?
Now they've got a deal where, I guess it's 2 weeks before Election Day, yeah. You can go to your town hall or where your village, whatever, and cast your ballot.
Right.
And they even have the electronic machines to do it on, so,
right.
You know.
Yeah, we have
that's
really...
That's what they got.
What?
Vote early and vote often. You know, who's controlling the damn machines?
I don't know. We have early voting here in Georgia, too. But
oh,
here,
you?
Yeah, but here in Georgia, they have one of those big old white sheriffs who stands, or deputy sheriff who stands near the voting place. And if you show up more than once, of course, he'll just kill you. I mean, it's just very simple.
Well, the other thing I call about, I know you've got a subscription to Harper's, do you not?
Mm-hmm.
And you know about the meeting on Thursday?
No. What meeting?
Oh, in New York. Gee whiz.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the impeachment meeting.
Yeah. Is there a case with Lewis Lapham and...
Yes.
Let's see. Sam Cedar is the moderator and like that.
Yes.
Well, there's a second item in there. What's it called? Come on. What the hell is the damn title? Out of control, AIDS and the corruption of the medical sciences. You got to read that too.
Oh yeah, I mean
how rotten the FDA that's supposed to protect us.
Right. I know. I read that one too.
Isn't that lovely?
Harper's and The Nation and Mother Jones are the three magazines that New Yorker.
Yeah.
Are the three of four magazines that I read religiously, and that's why I'm always behind. But I wouldn't miss Harper's. Thank God Harper's only comes monthly.
Yeah.
My
son got me a subscription last year on my birthday, and I'm enjoying it immensely.
Yeah.
You read these things and you... I keep visualizing the vulture sitting on... a wire someplace or on a branch of a tree, a dead tree, thinking, I'm so mad I want to kill something.
Yeah.
Have you seen that card, that drawing?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, man. These people are unreal. They have no shame. Oh, and the thing today that just absolutely made me, I didn't know whether I wanted to laugh or cry or whatever, but you know this deal with Nicole Smith or whatever her name is.
Right. The big bazoomed woman who is going to the Supreme Court to try to get her $500 million.
You know what I heard today, and I don't know what, I just heard it once, so I don't know if somebody was making a light or whether it actually happened, But Bush is, the White House is supposed to be filing an amicus curiae on her behalf.
Based on what?
Beats the hell out of me. I mean, you know, if you live in Texas and by God you got to claim the money, you better be able to get it.
So the Bush administration is filing a friend of the court brief for Anna Nicole Smith's case?
I just heard the statement once. Like I said, I don't know if maybe somebody was funning me or whether, but I heard it on the electric radio. And I thought, I'll be damned. Well, you know, they'll do anything.
Well, I'll have to check that one out. And by the way, you don't get The Nation, do you?
No.
You should tell your son to subscribe to that for you. Elizabeth Holtzman was the first one that I'm aware of in national media who came up with the idea that it's time to impeach George Bush. Matter of fact, her article was the impeachment of George Bush. Yeah, I got to leave it there. Thanks, Marge. We're out of time.
Okay, take care.
All right. All right. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for participating, folks. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Watch your back, okay? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Thanks a lot for the ride home. Hey, no problem, man. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.